supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. There's a family feud brewing among local Democrats over who will be the party's nominee to the new congressional seat centered in Delaware County. Some leading Democrats there worry that a late-coming candidate from South Philadelphia, a small part of the district, could dominate the field on the strength of super PAC spending from union supporters. WHYY's Dave Davies reports that the most influential of the unions has actually been generous to Republicans in Delaware County, increasing tensions in the race.
More than a dozen Democrats are seeking the party's nomination for the seat, mostly from Delaware County, and many have been running since last year. But 32-year-old Rich Laser, a first-time candidate from the Philadelphia wedge of the district, has entered the race late with powerful friends.
Rich Laser believes, as I do, that we must help those in need, that we must stand up to Donald Trump and resist.
That's Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney endorsing Laser, who served as his deputy mayor for labor before resigning a month ago to run for Congress. But Kenney isn't the ally that really matters for Laser. It's unions, especially those in the building trades that have put millions of dollars in some past races into super PACs that wage independent advertising campaigns for their favored candidates. The most influential of these union leaders, John Dougherty, known as Johnny Doc of Electricians Union Local 98, says yes, he expects his union and others will fund an independent effort to help Laser.
I always wanted to make sure that the people in the working community had the same tools available to the, you know, the rich people out there.
But Delaware County Democrats, who've been working to overcome the decades-long domination of Republicans in the county, say Local 98 in particular has been too cozy with the GOP in Delco. A review of campaign finance reports shows they have a point. Over the past 4 years, Local 98 has contributed tens of thousands of dollars to Republican committees in Upper Darby, Ridley Township, Tinicum Township, and Ridley Park, as well as many Republican candidates in Delaware County. All combined, it's just over $500,000. Christine Ruther, chair of the Nether Providence Democratic Committee, says that affects her feelings about Laser.
I am not going to support a candidate whose primary source of backing is from an organization, in this case a labor union, who has pumped over $500,000 into local Republican races.
There's some context here. For years, Republicans held unquestioned dominance over Delaware County, and Pat Iding, president of the Philadelphia AFL-CIO Council, says union leaders have to be pragmatic and make friends with those who can help them.
One thing people have to understand, labor's not a party. And if we feel that there's a Republican that's going to work for us or a Democrat, that's where we're going to put our support.
As for Local 98, it gives around $4 million a year in political donations, and far more of it goes to Democrats than Republicans. Their leader, John Dougherty, says in Delaware County, he's had to work hard to get developers to hire union labor.
Nobody ever gives you work, but they do give you a meeting or two, and they give you access. And if someone's good to you, you know, in return, you're good to them.
And being good to them sometimes means political contributions.
When they ask for money and they ask for things to get done, it's about jobs for us. It means nothing other than jobs.
Christine Ruther says Delaware County Democrats are finally beginning to win local elections, and she wants someone in Congress who will work hard and help candidates raise money to build on that momentum.
I'm really concerned that putting a de facto leader in our party who's got those kinds of ties is going to be better for the Republicans than for the Democratic candidates who are working hard to flip towns and to flip state House seats and to flip state Senate seats.
Laser says he thinks working people in Delaware County and Philadelphia want the same things, and he hopes to find support throughout the district. Whoever prevails in the primary is expected to face much better odds of winning in November than Democrats have in the past. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
And this disclosure, Local 98 represents engineers at WHYY. When Bill Cosby's criminal sexual assault retrial starts next month, the famous comedian will face six accusers. While just one woman's allegations led to the criminal charges, WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports that a Montgomery County judge ruled today that five more women will be allowed to testify.
Last year, a jury couldn't decide whether to convict the 80-year-old comedian of 3 counts of aggravated sexual assault, resulting in a mistrial. Former prosecutor Dennis McAndrews, who is not involved in the case, says the judge's decision will give the prosecution a huge boost in the upcoming retrial set to start in April.
In my view, it's a likely game changer in the trial.
Cosby stands accused of drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constand in his Cheltenham home in 2004. Cosby says the encounter with the Temple employee whom he mentored was consensual. Prosecutors hope having other women take the stand and swear he drugged and sexually assaulted them, too, will show that Cosby knew what he was doing. Defense attorney Thomas Bergstrom, also not on the case, says bringing in other accusers can unfairly bias a jury.
It's very difficult to strike a fair balance, and it depends on each case, of course.
In a statement, Cosby spokesman Andrew Wyatt agreed, calling the prosecutor's case against his boss, quote, desperate and weak. Prosecutors have until Monday to pick which 5 witnesses they'll call. Laura Benshoff, WHYY News.
Mike Chitwood was sworn into the Philadelphia Police Department almost 54 years ago and became the department's most decorated cop. Now working as superintendent of the Upper Darby Police Force since 2005, Chitwood is back in the news in part for his suggestions on how to rein in mass shootings in schools. Mike Chitwood, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you.
You propose arming teachers who volunteer to go through training. Why do you think that's a good idea?
Well, every time there's a mass shooting, and I've done an analysis of every one of them, I think there's like 16, and I discovered one thing. The average shooter, 3 minutes it takes for him to do the carnage that he commits. The average policeman to get to the scene is about 5 minutes. The police don't get there until it's already over. By the time we get there, by the time we get notified, by the time we get there, by the time we get in, it's done.
The time frame you are relating is compelling on the face of it, but there are potentially so many unintended consequences, though, of, again, teachers who went to school to teach, being certified and trained, but not in a real test situation like that.
I got it. But we send our children to school to get educated. We don't send our children to school to be killed. Now, obviously, it was voted down unanimously by the school board in Upper Darby. It was the mayor didn't sign off on it. He poo-pooed it and wrote a letter basically saying that he did not support my recommendation, which is fine. I mean, I'm thinking outside the box. I'm thinking about protecting our children, period.
You joined the Philadelphia Force in 1964, and we are a dense urban population. Why has there been a proliferation of acts of gun violence and mass violence over the years, only accelerating since the time you were first in?
The easy accessibility to guns, period. There's 300 million guns, they guesstimate. 300 million guns in America today.
That's about one for every man, woman, and child.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And again, I'm not against the NRA, but I'm not for the NRA neither. I mean, I think that they're going to self-implode because the mood of the country today is some type of gun control. Why should you be able to buy a AK-47 or an AR-15 and not be 21 years of age if you're going to buy it? You buy a handgun, you got to be 21 years old. So why can't they capitulate and say, okay, 21, you buy a gun? The training, the background checks, the buying a gun at a non-licensed individual.
Or online.
There should be checks and balances, and you got to start out slow.
To what you're articulating, do you feel that also is representative of law enforcement in general?
I think when you see what you see day in and day out, yeah. I mean, when I was a homicide detective in Philadelphia, there were 400 murders a year. 400 murders a year. And the majority of them were committed with a handgun or some type of firearm. So, I got it. I mean, I understand it. Our goal and my only suggestion was to protect the kids. If people don't respect it or people don't want it, I'll go back to the drawing board and come up with another idea. Everybody wants to pass laws to protect the students, the children. I got it. But I think you need the NRA to start protesting and filing lawsuits and start realizing that the overwhelming majority of Americans more and more want something done. And I think if you start chipping away, and it has nothing to do with taking people's right to bear arms. It has everything to do with people's right to make sure that their children are protected.
Well, again, based on your vast experience in law enforcement, your perspective is certainly worthy of being heard, and thank you for articulating it so well.
Thank you.
Michael Chitwood, currently serving as superintendent of the Upper Darby Police Force. He started with the Philadelphia Force in 1964. Ahead this evening, attendees at the National Constitution Center will hear from historians and legal experts discussing ways to restore the founders' vision for America. Also participating in the panel discussion will be Issue One's Reformers Caucus members, comprised of more than 180 former bipartisan members of Congress, cabinet officials, and governors dedicated to advocating for solutions to fix our democracy. Two Reformers Caucusers join me now, former Delaware Governor and Congressman Republican Mike Castle, and former New Jersey Democratic Congressman Rush Holt. Governor, Congressman, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Thanks.
So I suppose we first need to come to some sense of accord of what the founders' vision for America was before we know where it's gone and how to restore it.
For starters, I don't think they were really thinking about the internet. They weren't thinking about huge sums of money being poured into elections. I think they felt that they managed sort of ethics of their own standards. These are all things that have crept into politics to a great degree now. You have major spenders coming into the political structure and supporting political action committees and pouring huge sums of money into these various races. You have serious issues with gerrymandering districts, which are drawn so that they're all Republican or all Democrat, depending on whatever your particular preference is of the people drafting it, which is usually a state legislative body, although sometimes it's a judicially ordered event, which usually works a little bit better.
Then is it hyperbole to suggest that the resultant gridlock is perhaps the most fundamental danger to our democracy, certainly as our founders, if they could see it now, might envision it?
Well, the founders didn't think that there would be thousands of bills passed, but they didn't think there would be none passed. They didn't count on gridlock. And I think they believed that the citizens would feel that the House of Representatives represented them. And if you ask most people nowadays, they think that the House of Representatives represents special interests and super PACs. And, you know, no matter how true it may be, if the public thinks that, that's not good. And we can all see Congress doesn't work very well. They have trouble getting things done. They have trouble agreeing with each other.
I agree with Rush, but I feel there's another major factor here, and that is the political parties themselves, both political parties. They tend to be very adamant about how their members are going to vote. The ability to compromise, the ability to work with each other is something which I think has been distanced, particularly in recent decades. There are a lot of political votes which are cast, and one of the things they hear is my party, whichever party it is not supportive of this particular legislation. If I support it, they're not going to contribute to my campaign or help me in my election.
Is it that those during primaries prioritize re-election over serving their constituents?
I think the founders thought that members of Congress would see the election not as the end of the process, but the beginning of the process. When I was in Congress, I kept reminding my constituents, I'm not doing all this so that I can be elected. I was elected so that I can do these things. And we have to get back to that way of thinking. If the election is the end of the process, then you will always be looking at the member of the other party in Congress as somebody that if you don't give them any breaks, you might be able to defeat them at the next election.
We've cited the problems and the impediments. What are some of the priorities toward that end?
Some of the priorities are obviously to straighten out the Federal Election Commission, which can rule on some of these things. That's important. The president can make appointments. The Congress can approve those and get that filled up and go from there. There is concern. Are the ethics committees in the House and the Senate working the way they should in terms of properly overseeing that? I think that at some point they're going to have to deal with campaign finance reform. If there is a general belief, as Rush has already pointed out, that these elections are controlled by big contributors, by political action committees or whatever it may be.
Thank you, too, for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
It's a pleasure.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Former Delaware Governor and Congressman Republican Mike Castle and Democrat former New Jersey Congressman Rush Holt, Jr. And this disclaimer, Mike Castle is a member of the WHYY Board of Directors. That's all for tonight's show. Newsworks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at whyy.org/news. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Heller, Newsworks Tonight.